It is through the Word of God that He speaks to us.
Choose today whom you will serve.
Christ is not some of my righteousness, every single ounce of it.
He is the Creator. He is the Father. He is Lord Almighty.
Jesus is the culmination of all of God's promises in the Old Testament and pointing to Him as the Messiah.
When it comes to acceptance into heaven and handing in a resume that is Christ,
you must surrender to Him. You must allow Him to be your strength and your everything.
I am very excited to be with you guys today. And several months ago, Pastor Adam brought this idea for the sermon series to the pastoral staff. And kind of, if you had a chance to speak from your heart, what would you say? And I thought that was an incredible title or incredible idea, and I was like, I'm in, let's do this, and I was really excited about it, and really, I immediately knew what I wanted to preach on, but at the same time, I was immediately nervous, and I felt almost this like great pressure or weight on my shoulders and kind of this pit in my stomach, because if I'm going to preach from my heart, then I have to be honest about what's going on in my life, and so that's kind of the starting point for today. And it's interesting because we're going to be talking about this idea of devotion to God's Word. And if I were to be honest with you, I've been a Christ follower since I was in fourth grade. I've been a pastor for 15, 16 years now. I should not be struggling with something so fundamental like daily time in the Word of God, right? Like I should be past this by now. But to be honest with you, that's exactly where I found myself this last year. I found myself going days or sometimes weeks without reading God's Word. And I found myself becoming frustrated and angry and depressed. And I'd say things like, you know, Jeff, it's okay because you're in the Word all the time to get ready to preach and teach. Like you teach Sunday school, you teach Bible study, like you're in the Word enough. You're like, you know what? Yeah, you're right, little voice in my head. I am in the Word of God enough. But God, what God has been showing me really this past probably year and a half or so, maybe longer, is that God doesn't want just a little part of me. He wants all of me. He wants all of my devotion. He wants all of my heart. He is not satisfied with the leftovers in case I get their time. He wants all of me. And last week, if you weren't here, Pastor Daniel talked about this idea of the power of God's Word. And this week, we're going to talk about devotion to God's Word. So something became very clear to me after last Sunday's message. God wants us to hear about His Word. Because you might not believe me, but Daniel and I, we never talked about our sermons. You know, last Sunday, after he taught, I walked up to him and go, hey, you shared 5 verses that I'm sharing next Sunday. And he's like, cool. And I was like, yeah. So God clearly wants us to hear more about the Word of God. And so we're talking about devotion to God's Word. And really this sermon, what I'm hoping to do with this sermon is I'm wanting to answer one very simple question. Why do we read the Word of God daily? Not why do we read the Word of God. I would imagine that every single one of us in this room, like, well, yeah, we read the Word of God because it's the Word of God, and that's what Christ followers do. But what I'm talking about today is why do we read it daily? Or why should we read it daily? And so I'm going to start kind of giving the overarching idea of what this means for all of us. And then towards the end, I'm going to get very personal about what this means for me. So let's jump into Scripture. I'm going to go over a lot of Scripture today. Just forewarning, this isn't a Bible drill. No one's getting a prize at the end if they're able to keep up. There's a lot of Scripture. Some will be on the screen. Some I'll just say out loud. Just follow along with me. I'll indicate if I'd like you to turn to a certain passage. But Hebrews chapter 4 is really going to give us the context of where we're going today. And it's going to be kind of the roadmap to get us to where we're going. Let's open up. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. See, right off the bat, we see something very, very significant about the Bible, is that it is alive. The word of God is alive. In fact, the Bible is the only book that when we read it, it's reading us. That it's reading the thoughts, it's reading our intentions, it's reading our hearts, it's going through to the very core of who we are, even when we don't understand our heart, even when we don't understand our mind, the word of God is searching us out and trying to teach us. So what does this mean for us? It means that when we approach the scriptures daily, it reads us. It wants to teach us. It wants to train us. It wants to show us the areas of our heart, the areas of our lives where we are not lining up with the will of God. Literally, to be a Christ follower means little Christ or Christ-like. And so when we read the scriptures, it tells us, hey, in this area of your life, you are not being Christ-like. And so we approach it, and it shows those things to us. It teaches us. It helps us grow. Secondly, what does this mean for us? It means that there really is only one place that we can come to for truth, and it's the word of God. That literally we have the inspired, full scripture of God, words from the mouth of God, spoken to man, written down, kept for centuries, and is the only source of life. And we have that at our fingertips. And so often I'm like, I'm busy today. I'm busy today. So one of Pastor Adam's sayings that I absolutely love is this: low guilt and high commitment. Maybe you've heard him say that. And that is none truer than this. Let me tell you this right now. This sermon is not a guilt trip. This sermon is a you need to be in your word. No, this sermon is to show you that if you want to have life and life to the full, there's only one way to get it. And that is through daily devotion to the word of God. Not a guilt trip. Not a you should try harder to do better. Another area that's been really interesting to me over this past probably year and a half is God has just kind of been revealing to me scripture, but primarily in the word of God being considered food or water. Have you ever thought about why the Bible talks so much about itself being food or being water? You know, I did a little research to prepare for this sermon, and the word of God is called water or food or honey or bread or milk or meat over 50 times throughout scripture from Genesis to Revelation. Why? It sounds really weird. I think it's because God knows we like food. Just being honest, he goes, hey, they'll relate to food. So I'm going to say the word of God is like food. And so think of it this way. The word of God is literally a meal set out before us that we have the opportunity to partake or not. Look at Jeremiah 15, 16. It says, your words were found and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. So the imagery that I want to portray in this message is that you go home today, and on your kitchen table is just a meal spread out before you of all of your favorite foods. The food in your mind, like, man, I hope there's banana pudding. It's there. I hope there's fajitas, they're there. And you just go there and like, man, this food is gonna be so dissatisfying. Nah, never mind, I'm good. That's how we approach the word of God so often, that the word of God is literally setting before us the words of life, breathed and inspired and spoke out by our creator, and we have the opportunity to partake. And so often we don't do it. And then things creep up in our life like anxiety or loneliness or anger or fear or worry. You're like, where's all this stuff coming from? Interesting. when we don't approach the scriptures, there's a negative effect on our lives. Let me be clear, life is not found in devotion, but in the relationship that devotion leads to. The goal is not to just wake up every morning and read the Bible and check it off the box. No, the goal is that through that daily devotion, we build the muscles of discipline and we read the Word of God, and it literally starts to change our lives. And the Word of God explodes in our mind, and we learn more about who He is. We learn that He can be trusted. We learn that He is faithful. He is true. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And we begin to actually trust God. And that pours out into other areas of our life. Follow along with me on the screen here in a second. I just want to kind of give you a snapshot of what the Word of God says about this relation of food and the Word of God, because it's so cool. First, the Word of God is called honey in Psalms 119, 103, Psalms 19, 13, and again in Ezekiel 3, 3. The Word of God is referenced or called water in Ephesians 5, 26, and again in Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. The Word of God is called meat or milk in 1 Peter 2, 2, 1 Corinthians 3, 2, Hebrews 5, 12. And the Word of God is called bread at least a dozen times, but primarily what we're going to focus today is in Matthew 6, 11, or the Lord's Prayer. And so let's read the verses about honey. You know, it was very interesting. I was talking the covenant class. They had a little food set up out there. They had biscuits with honey, literally sitting out there. And I was like, are these fresh, homemade biscuits? Yes, they are. Honey is good. I love honey. Look what the Word of God, talking about itself, says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Just listen to the beautiful imagery of the Word of God being considered food. Ezekiel 3:3. This is so important because this was Ezekiel starting out in his ministry of being a prophet of the Lord. And how does God start him out? By feeding him the Word of God. Look at this. It says, and I said to him, son of man, feed your belly with this scroll or the Word of God that I give you and fill your stomach with it. Then this Ezekiel, then I ate it and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. The Word of God is sweet to the taste. It's good for us. Then the Word of God is considered water. And this idea of being cleansed by the washing of the water, but also the Word of God pouring into us and us growing. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he may sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. Think of it this way. After a long, hard day of working outside, what do? Take a shower. Unless you're a junior high boy, you never take showers. But you take a shower, right? To cleanse your body externally. Do you know what the Word of God does when we approach it? It cleanses us spiritually. It washes away the things of this world that want to attach onto us. It cleanses us by the washing of the word. Then in Isaiah 55, 10 and 11, it says this. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. I love this idea. The Word of God, like we've experienced a very, very wet summer so far. And if your yard's anything like mine, the grass is just out of control. And you've had to cut it almost weekly, if not a couple times a week, because of how much rain we're getting. Literally, rain falls and growth happens. The Word of God is the same. When we let the Word of God fall on our lives, the outcome of that is growth. In some of y'all's translations, it may say the Word of the Lord does not return void, meaning that there is a purpose for the Word of God. The purpose for the Word of God is that the believer would grow. The purpose of the Word of God is that the believer would come into contact with the Creator of all things and be changed. That is the power and the purpose of devotion to the Word of God. The Word of God is also called milk or meat for the purpose of nourishing to maturity. But I want you to follow the pattern. We start with milk and then we move into the meat. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 3 says this, like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Think of this idea of pure spiritual milk just being the gospel. The milk is the gospel that Jesus Christ was sent to this earth. He gave up his position in heaven, came down, lived a sinless life, died a sinner's death. 3 days later, rose from the grave and went up into heaven. And at one point, he's going to come back. That is the pure spiritual milk of the gospel. And like every believer, we have to get that right first. And we have to soak in it and let that grow us to maturity. Then we have the meat, 1 Corinthians 3:2. I fed you with milk, not solid food or meat, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready for it. This idea of meat is just some of the more difficult parts of Scripture. Just like if you have a friend that accepts Christ, I'm like, all right, I got you. I know where to start. Go to Revelation. Just start reading. And when you get hung up, come and ask me a question. One verse later, they're coming to you asking questions, right? Because why? The revelation or the deeper things of Scripture, they're not for the infant in the faith. So this idea of the Word of God being milk and meat that helps nourish us, helps us grow into maturity. And this last one, the Word of God being bread, I want to kind of set here and unpack this for a second, because just like all these other ones, the bread of life, it satisfies our souls. But before we get there, I want to jump to back. You just follow along with me. This is Exodus 16, verse 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I'm about to rain from heaven for you, and the people shall go out, or manna from heaven, sorry, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day. And I may test them, and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they are bringing in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. And so you're probably sitting like, where are you going with this, Pastor? I'm not tracking. That's fine. I'm going to unpack it for you. What's happening here is that there's a story. The Israelites they've been let my people go. They've rescued from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea, but they have yet to make it to the Promised Land. And they're stuck in the 40 years of the desert in this situation. And I don't know if you've ever been to a desert. There's not a lot of food. There's not a lot of water. And so the people of Israel are literally trusting and learning to trust God daily for him to provide for them. And so what does he do? He rains down from heaven bread in the form of manna. But what's interesting is that with this bread, this manna, there is very specific rules associated with it. One of the first rules is that they gather daily what they needed for that day only, and that manna did not last to the next day. In fact, it turned rotten and was no good to eat. So what do they have to do the next morning? Go out, get more. The second, they only grabbed what they needed for their family. They were told not to gather more than you needed, but guess what we always do? I need a little bit more. I don't fully trust God in this situation. And then the third one, he said, on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much. So that would be good for Saturday and then for Sunday, the Sabbath, where they weren't supposed to work. It's like, what does all this have to do with daily devotion? It has everything to do with daily devotion. Because God wants to provide for you today what you need for today. Not tomorrow, not the next day, not next week. Because what God is asking the Israelites is also what he's asking us today. Do you trust me? Do you trust me to provide for you everything that you need? Are you willing to give me control of your life? Do you trust me? In Deuteronomy 8:3, this idea gets unpacked a little bit more. And so I'm going to read that for us real quick. It says, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Do you see the connection now? Manna in the desert had nothing to do with manna. It had to do with Israelites. Do you trust me that I'll keep my word? Will you trust me to provide for you everything that you need for today? Will you trust me on Saturday that you will have enough food to sustain you on Sunday? Do you trust me? The Israelites, just like us, they were learning to live not by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And guess what? Do you know why we call the Bible the Word of God? It's not a trick question, because it's the Word of God. It is literally the living, active Word of God, fully inspired Word of God that is useful for teaching and correction and training in righteousness, that we have the opportunity to go before it and feast daily to give us today what we need, to be the delight of our souls, all of which is found through this process of daily devotion. You're not going to get there. "Well, I just read my Bible one time and nothing happened." Maybe try to do it two times and just go from there. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and kind of unpack this idea of the Lord's Prayer, because it's only going to get better from here and more exciting from here as we continue this study through the scriptures of the Word of God. Matthew 6 verse 9 says, "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Did y'all catch it? Our daily what? Our daily bread. Jesus is literally teaching his disciples and teaching us that we have to come daily to the Word of God to get our daily bread, that there's no other way around it. You can think of it this way. Jesus is teaching them, come to me, and I will provide for your every need. Come to the Word of God, and he will provide for every need. Now, we don't know this 100% for sure, but with some biblical knowledge, it is very, very likely that Jesus is directly addressing manna in the desert when he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Very, very likely. And we know that to be likely because here in a second, he is going to directly address manna in the desert. But I want you to think about it this way. Would anyone in this room eat food and drink water one day a week? Anybody? Anyone want to go for that challenge? And I'm not talking about intermittent fasting. Now, that's a big craze right now. I'm talking about it's Sunday, so I'm going to eat and I'm going to drink. And next Sunday, I'll eat and drink again. Do you know what would physically happen to your bodies if you did that? Your organs would begin to shut down because your body was meant to survive off of food and off of water. But just like we wouldn't eat one day a week, we wouldn't come to the scriptures one day a week either. Why? Because if this right now is the only time in a week that you come to the scriptures, your spiritual body will begin to break down. And all kinds of chaos will start in your life. That's not a guilt trip. That's reality, that the Word of God is meant to be eaten daily, daily. Now let's turn to John chapter 6, and we're going to pick up at verse 31. Because if you were here last week, Pastor Daniel talked about this idea of there being a meta-narrative or an overarching story of the Word of God, and that story is the redemption and Jesus and the cross. That the whole Bible can be wrapped up in this one idea. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son. So the Word of God is all about Jesus, and Jesus is about to take this whole idea that we've been talking about this whole time and flip it upside down. And if some of you have red letter Bibles, that's important. John 6, 31. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, red letter Bible, what do red letters mean? Those are literally the words of Jesus. I tell my daughters that all the time, to look for the red letter books or red letter verses, because that's literally the mouth of Jesus speaking truth. And so what does Jesus say? Truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. And whoever comes to me shall not hunger. And whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This is so amazing because Jesus is taking this entire concept of daily bread and he's saying, I am the daily bread. If you want to have life and have life to the full, come to me daily and eat your fill. So we have the opportunity to come to the Word of God daily. And I keep saying that word opportunity because it is. It's a choice that you have to make. It's a choice that you have to prioritize. It's the sacrifice of other things to make it possible to happen. Why? Because in so doing, we have life and have life to the full. Life and life to the full. So what does this mean for us personally? I want to spend kind of the rest of our time together being really honest with you, first of all, from my heart, but also being really practical. What does daily reading of the Word of God change? Does it change anything? So if you're here with us last week, Pastor Daniel hinted about this study that was conducted by the Center of Biblical Engagement. And what the study did is it probably took 37 to 40 years of questioning and answering. And the age range is an 8-year-old all the way up to an 80-year-old, roughly 4 to 5 generations of people asking, what does the Word of God reading do to your life? And what impact does that have? And it said that engaging in God's Word once or twice a week showed little to no change in a person's life. Just a quick newsflash. This right now is engaging in the Word of God one time. But if this is the only time that you're in the Word of God, it will have little to no impact on your actual day-to-day life. Yet again, that's not a guilt trip. That's just the reality that God wants us to have life to the full. The second part of this is that engaging with the Word of God 3 times a week showed some noticeable changes, but not really massive changes. But then when someone crossed over to 4+ times a week, there were massive changes in the person's life. And these statistics on the screen behind me, just take a look at them as I read through these, and maybe some of these hit differently for each of you, but loneliness and anxiety, also you could wrap depression in that too, went down 30%. Bitterness in relationships went down 40%. Anger, speaking of myself, someone that struggles and deals with anger on a daily basis, down 32%. Alcoholism, down 57%. Pornography and lust, down 57% also. Feeling spiritually stagnant, down 60%. But look at the flip side of this, though. Look at the hope, too. Sharing your faith, up 228%. I didn't even think that was possible. I thought that it ended at 100%. But apparently with the Bible, all things are possible. 200% sharing your faith. Discipling others, up 230%. Memorizing scripture, up 407%. Interesting, when you approach the scriptures, you memorize it. But if you only look at it once a week, it doesn't penetrate into your heart. And this study's findings are significant. They're remarkable. There's so much truth to be found that when we come to the Word of God, it changes us. So what does this all mean? It means that we have to be a people of God's word. It means that the regular rhythm of our life is incorporated engagement in the word of God. It means we figure out a way that works for us and we just do it. So as a student pastor, I dealt with this idea all the time. And I still have these conversations today. I'd have students come up to me and be like, hey, Jeff, I'm just really struggling with this in my life. And I just don't feel God like I used to. And I would ask them the same question every single time. When was the last time you read your Bible? And almost without fault, with guilt and shame in their face, they look at the ground, say, it's been a while. It's been a while. Some would even say, I've actually never read my Bible. This is the only time that I come is on Wednesdays or Sundays and I hear you teach on it. And why did I ask that question? Did I ask that question to shame them and guilt them? No, I asked that question to show them there's only one way to not feel those things. There's only one way to get out of that funk that you're feeling, and it's by coming to the Word of God and engaging with Scriptures. And just like us today, we can't expect to feel close to God if we never come to Him. Well, I went on Sunday, that's enough, right? I prayed once this week before dinner. That's good. I'm good for the week. I've checked my box. No, it's daily coming to Him. If you're a husband in the room, how do you think it would go if you just woke up every morning, you never talked to your wife, you never engaged with your wife, you never sent her any messages, you just completely ignored her for an entire day? How well do you think that would go for you? Some husbands are like, I don't know, but I don't like it. I don't like the way I feel right now. But that's the same way. We can't expect to be close to God if we never go to Him. We can't feel close to God if we're never reading His word and understanding who He is and learning about His character, learning to do the things that He loves and stop doing the things that He hates. That's what we find in the Word of God. All right, honesty time here for you guys. This whole series is here from the heart of your pastor. And so I'm going to share some stuff that, you know, hear from the heart. So here we go. For this past probably year and a half, I had a really close friend of mine that almost died from a heart attack. And that kind of, for me, helped me reevaluate some stuff. Like, if I died today, what would that mean for my family? And I started asking some really hard personal questions. You know, what does it mean to leave a legacy? Well, what does family discipleship mean? How can I impart the truths of Scripture into my daughter's hearts so that they know who He is and learn to love Him? And then I started asking the question of, well, what does this whole daily devotion thing mean? And I'm going to be honest with you, that led to a lot of really, really disgusting heart realities. And I found myself struggling with anger, depression, anxiety, loneliness. And I say, God, what's going on? And it was almost as if this little voice said, hey, Jeff, when's the last time you read your Bible? And eyes went to the ground and said, God, it's been a while. It's been a while. And so I'm expecting to gain life by never going to the source. Never going to the source. And I failed a lot. Worse than that, I became very legalistic along the way. I'm like, well, you missed yesterday, so God doesn't like you anymore. And I failed over and over and over again. I felt defeated over and over and over again. I cried out to God saying, why is this so hard? I'm just trying to come to you daily, and everything in my life is fighting against it. But here's one thing I know to be true. I found myself being a different person, a different father, a different pastor, a different husband when the rhythm of my life was engaging in Scripture. Why? Because the Word of God is living and active. It reveals the sin in our hearts. It revealed my sin, my control issue, my anger issue, my lust issue. It grabbed a hold of my heart and began to wring out the sin in my heart and life. And guess what happened? Before too long, I didn't even realize I wasn't struggling with those things anymore. Because the Word of God wants to change us. There's a quote by Howard Hendricks that the Lord has really used to kind of shape my heart, and it's on the screen behind me. During this journey, this quote has come up so many times, and it's this: we cannot impart what we don't possess. And God has brought this quote to my mind primarily in the context of being a husband and a father, but also in context of being a good friend and a pastor. And if you haven't noticed, we've kind of made a shift in this sermon. Because we've been talking before this point what the Word of God does to us. But guess what? God cares about the people around us too. And so when we are coming to the Word of God daily and we're allowing the Word of God to fill us up, reveal the sin in our heart, and we deal with that sin and we move on, guess what He wants us to do next? Pour out into the people around us. Pour out into the next generation. Pour out into our kids. Pour out into our coworkers. Pour out into that random person that comes on our path at the gas station. Now, some of you have maybe been wondering what this is about. And so I'm glad that you asked. So right now, I'm going to illustrate what we've been talking about this whole time. You're off the hook for a second, so... So good. This cup is going to represent me right now, okay? And the Lord wants me to be filled by Him daily and wants me to pour out into others. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get my wife because she's the most important person in my life, and I'm going to pour into her. No, that didn't work. Okay, maybe if I pour into my kids, I'll pour into them real quick. Well, that didn't work either. Maybe if I pour into you guys, this cup will be all of you. I'm gonna pour, because this is God's work, right? I'm a pastor. Surely I'll be able to pour into them, right? Well, that didn't work either. Okay, so we got a problem. What's wrong? My cup is empty. My cup is absolutely bone dry empty. So here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go, and I'm going to read the Bible, but I'm just going to do it once. All right, I'm filled. Now I can pour into my wife. All right, that should be good, honey. And now I'm going to pour into my kids. Yeah, that's good enough. Now I'm going to pour into all you guys. Is that good? That's enough? That's all y'all need? It's idiotic. It doesn't work. Why? Because we have to go to the source and we have to drink deeply from the Word of God and let Him fill us all the way up so that then we're able to pour out. We literally, actually, for the first time, have something to give to those around us. And didn't spill. I spilled the first service and it got everywhere and I felt really weird. But anyway, maybe you're sitting there and you're feeling an awful lot like this cup right here. And you feel very, very empty. Maybe you're a mom in the room. And if one person needs something from you, you're gonna snap. We laugh. We know it's true. Maybe you're a dad in the room and you feel absolutely inadequate at what you're doing and feel like you're failing at every turn. And no matter how hard you try, no matter what you try to do, you feel bone dry, empty. But guess what? There is only one place and one place only that this cup can go from here to turn into that cup. And it's when we approach the source daily and allow the Lord to fill us up. Because guess what? This cup right here is only for today. What do we have to do tomorrow? Go back to the source again and let it fill us. See, so often we try to fill everyone else's cup and we're spiritually empty and we're dry and we have nothing to give. All the while, we have the opportunity to come to the Word of God. And so I want to end the couple things here. I get very, very practical at the end, but what I want to say is that I think that everyone in here would sign up immediately for falling absolutely head over heels in love with the Word of God. Where you read like, yes, your word is honey to my lips and I soak it into my heart and I delight in your word and I'm just so in love with who you are that I just can't wait till the next time I get to approach your scriptures. Every single one of us in here would be like, yes, sign me up immediately. But as I sit right now, I don't feel that way. In fact, the Word of God has become such a small priority in my life that this is the only time I ever come to the Scriptures. You might be asking yourself, how do I get there? I believe you get there through the duty and discipline of devotion turning into delight. Psalms 40, verse 8 says this. It says, I delight to do your will. Oh my God, your law is within my heart. I love this verse. Like, yes, I want to have delight. How do I get there? We're not talking about this white knuckling, just try harder to do better. Well, Pastor Jeff said I had to read my Bible and I read it every day this week and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Somebody just give up. No. It's discipline that turns into delight. Why? Because life isn't found in devotion. It's found in the relationship that devotion leads to. That you wake up one morning and you're like, I'm not struggling with those things I've been struggling with forever. What has changed? It's changed is that you've become a person of the Word. One more verse. This one's incredible. It says, blessed is the man who walks, or this is Psalms 1:1-3. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his will, on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. And in all he does, he prospers. I love this verse because this shows us the pattern. What's the pattern? We can't get to the second part until we do the first part. We cannot be a man that's planted by the stream and produces fruit in season and out of season, whose leaf never withers and never ever runs dry and is purposeful and does everything he's supposed to do. We can't get there until we delight on the law of the Lord and meditate on it day and night. And it just becomes a part of who we are. And we eat deeply on the Word of God. And that devotion and that white knuckling and that difficulty that you experience now turns into delight. And the Word of God literally changes you. And before you know it, you look around and you're no longer struggling with depression. You're no longer just struggling with anxiety. I'm not saying it's all the way gone. I'm just saying it's no longer crippling like it once was. So I want to leave you with four ways to learn to delight in the law, or learn to delight in God's word. Maybe you're sitting there like, yes, what do I do? How do I get there? First of all, we ask for it. Seems really simple. Yeah, it is. We say, God, I don't delight in your word. Or God, I'm feeling guilt and I'm feeling shame. I know that's not from you, God. Change my heart, change my life so that your word could become a delight to my soul. Second, practice it. This seems kind of weird. Practice it. If anyone's ever played a sport before, you don't just show up on Sunday and do great. You have to practice. It's the exact same in the walk with the Lord. We practice it. We practice it especially when we don't want to. We practice it especially when we don't have time. Because guess what? Devotion is a muscle that we work out and we build. I'm not saying wake up tomorrow morning and read for 17 hours. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying wake up tomorrow morning and read something. Secondly, Pastor Daniel talked about this idea of making time. And he said we don't have a time issue, we have a priority issue. And I thought that was so wise, because the truth is, we make time for the stuff that we really care about. In fact, we sacrifice for things that we really care about. The problem is we haven't quite matured enough to sacrifice for the Word of God yet. Yet again, not a guilt trip. It's a raising of the bar. If we want to have life and have life to the full, it's only found in one place. The third, this one's really awesome. I love this. Be creative. And what I mean by that is discover what works for you. Discover the schedule that works for you. Schedule a rhythm that works for you. A type of study that works for you. A translation of the Bible that works for you. Figure out what works for you and just do it. Try out different reading study guides. And you know, we have a bookstore with all kinds of resources. Literally, I've said this in the last two sermons, and it sounds kind of funny, but Google it. Just Google it. I don't understand what this verse means. Google it. There's a really awesome website called gotquestions.org or .com, one of those two. Amazing resource. Type in your question and just start reading the truth of the scriptures. Be creative. Find out what works for you. For me, I love journaling. I've always journaled. I'll write out my prayers. I'll write out my questions. I'll put a date next to it. Because why? In a couple months down the line, I'll go back and I'll read the scripture or read my notes. I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize it, but God has answered that prayer. I completely forgot about that question I have, and now I understand that question. Flip side of that, my wife was in the last service. She does not journal. It does not work for her. It might not work for you, but be creative. We have an infinite amount of resources to be creative. There is so much content that we have. Just start somewhere. Number four, start small and grow. You don't have to wake up tomorrow morning and read for 17 hours, pray for four, go to sleep for a couple, then start it all over again. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is start somewhere. Pastor Daniel said last week, just start by reading a page and grow from there. Maybe a couple of verses, maybe a proverb, maybe a psalm, maybe a couple chapters. Maybe for you, you just really are struggling with something specific in your life. For you, just grab a devotional on whatever that is. Struggling with depression, find the devotional on depression. Struggling with anger, find the devotional revolved around anger and just start somewhere. Guys, what I'm saying here is really simple. Start by doing something. Pray, practice, be creative, start small and grow. Because the Word of God is literally like that meal that's set out in front of us. And we have the opportunity to come to it. We have the opportunity to feast on the very words of our Savior, to feast on the bread of life, which is Jesus. And then turn around and pour our lives out as a drink offering to others. Let's pray. Father, we're just so thankful for who you are, God. And I just pray right now with wherever this message has found us, God. Maybe some of us in this room are feeling guilty. Lord, and I just pray that they would remove that guilt and say, you know what? I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and I'm gonna do something different. God, that the reality is that when we come to your word daily, it changes our heart. It changes our life, God. It gives us life and life to the full. Father, we need you. We're thankful for who you are. We pray that you'd receive all the glory and honor that you do. Amen.